You take your Bibles and turn to the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I would that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. The help of the Lord today, I'm going to preach to you a little while about once is not enough. One time is not enough. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit that we've felt so far today. And we ask, Lord, that you touch our minds today, open our hearts and our understanding to the Word of God, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, and everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. When I forgot, I knew I was forgetting somebody. Dan Crenshaw, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. I was thinking there's somebody else I'm forgetting. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letters some very profound things. If you look at verse 3, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." I want to go through these one at a time. Brother Henry, you should see a slide named Foolish there. Foolish in the Greek means unintelligent. And you have got to have some Holy Ghost intelligence inside of you about the things of God. Disobedient means unpersuadable. It also means contumacious. Or contumacious. Now, that's the big word alert. What does contumacious mean? Anybody have an idea? He didn't put it up there, did he? Oh, good, he didn't put it up there yet. The next slide tells us what contumacious means. Stubborn refusal to obey authority. How many of you were really stubborn before you came to God? Let me tell you something. Just because you get the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that you got it all together at this point. It's a work in progress. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Let me tell you, we got all these preachers running around saying the Lord's coming here. He's coming on the red moon. He's coming on the blue moon. He's coming on such a day. They've made that situation worse because people are there. We've heard it for years. Jesus is coming. He hasn't come yet. Just plays right into their hands. And he goes on in verse 4, he says, verse 5, and he says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth was standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perisheth. Now, I'd like to talk to just a minute or two about being willingly ignorant, willingly disobedient, willingly foolish. Sometimes God shows us some things and we refuse to believe. And this is what this thing is also is giving out a great example is concerning Noah's flood. When Noah's flood, we have scientists today, they're like, well, we see all these dinosaur bones and they're all, it looks like they were in a flood. We don't know how it happened. Willingly ignorant. I've got a 60-second video. Brother Henry, why don't you put it on and turn it up a little bit, if necessary. There you go. Turn up the computer. Okay, we got no sound. Well, stuff ain't cooperating today. The picture is of a baby, of course. The baby is 8 weeks old. And the man was talking to somebody that was working on their master's in some kind of college. And he was showing this in some kind of setting. And the person got up and said, don't you think you can fool us with this fake pictures that you got? Oh, there it goes. Crank it up. Turn it back just a little bit. Yeah, just reload it if you can. Go to another picture and then come back to it. Yeah, now go back to it. The same picture. Willingly ignorant people can be sometimes. And deceived. Now, very interestingly, the next slide is deceived, Brother Henry. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, that word deceived, there's three ways that it's used. A deceiver causes someone to believe something that is not true, typically in order to gain some personal advantage. They know that something's not true, and they're trying to deceive you. The second way, a deception is to give a mistaken impression, and we see that a lot in advertising. And you see a product, and you go and buy that product, and it's doesn't act like and it doesn't do exactly what they said that it would do in the advertisement. That's deceptive advertising. And the third way is being deceived is failing to admit to oneself that something is true. Notice that being deceived is not something that comes from the outside necessarily, but it's also something on the inside when a person sees truth and they refuse to believe what is the truth. then they are deceived. That's not somebody on the outside. Sure, somebody on the outside can present something, but it's on the inside that deception takes place. So being deceived is failing to admit to oneself that something is true. Serving various lusts and pleasures. Now, this is all from verse 3. One of those traits of the last days is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Be careful that your pleasures in life don't step in God's place. It says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's nothing wrong with enjoying some pleasures in life. But if you let those pleasures stand between you or you and your family and God, then they're wrong. And it falls into the category, the Bible says, let us lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. That would begin to fall into the category of being a weight when it begins to stand between you and the Lord. Think about it. So don't let things stand between you and God. Enjoy life. Enjoy it a little bit, but give God his place. Amen. Give God his place. Living in malice. The intention, malice is the intention or desire to do evil. Unfortunately, I've seen things put on Facebook. Who wants to go out with me? I'm going to hell tonight. And kids sometimes talk about, and sometimes more adult kids talk like that too. Come on, let's go out and let's sin tonight. Let's go out and be lost tonight. Let's go out and go to hell tonight. That's living in malice. Malice is also from the Greek badness. That is subjectively depravity or actively malignancy or passively trouble. So malice goes a long way around. And the Lord, you know, you can be come out of the world and the Lord can deliver you from some malice. He may not deliver you from it all of it at once. Sometimes when you live for God, it's a progressive walk with the Lord. When you're born again, you're not born again perfect. Amen. You have to understand, very important, don't ever get the attitude, you can't tell me anything. I know I'm right and you're wrong. Don't get that attitude, because you're falling back into the way that you were before you came to God. Living in envy. The dictionary says, envy is a feeling of discontentment or a resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck, as the dictionary says it, luck. But you cannot allow yourself to envy, because if you allow yourself to envy, you let things come into your life that are not supposed to be there. You can have a resentment for God. God, how come you're there blessed and I'm not blessed? When we see somebody being blessed, we should rejoice with them. I've known of churches where the pastor bought a new car, and some of the people would get, not an expensive car, and some of the people would go to them and be resentful of the blessing of the Lord that he was able at least to drive a decent car. No, rejoice with those that rejoice. Rejoice with those that are blessed. Be happy for them. And I try to be that way with you. If you get blessing, if you've got a blessing, if you've got something, I try to say, well, God bless you. That's great. Amen. Because we cannot allow envy to get inside of our heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 17 and 18 says, let not thy heart envy sinners. Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. In the book of James, We like to, and oftentimes we do quote this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And of course, I teach that if you want to resist the devil, you've got to submit to God. Very true. Absolutely true. But it really starts a few verses before this. In verse 4, James chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Think about where your friendship is. Is your friendship with the things of the world, or is your friendship with the things of God? Amen. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, verse 5, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? There's something inside of us. If you do not check it, if you do not control it, we'll let envy come into your life. And then he goes on and says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Then he writes, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Being hateful, in verse 3, being hateful and hating one another. Synonyms to being hateful are bad, catty. I couldn't write them all down because there were some pretty nasty ones in there. Cruel, despiteful, malevolent, malicious, malign, malignant, mean, nasty, spiteful, vicious, virulent. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes, but after that the kindness of and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. This is the way we were. All of us may not have had all the same things happening, but there was some of it in each of us. Come on, somebody say amen, because what I'm teaching is the truth today. Some of us were ugly, mean, and nasty. Some of us were hateful. Some of us were spiteful. Some of us were disobedient. Some of us were foolish. Some of us were malignant. But despite ourselves, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Because of the mercy of God, he overlooked our faults. He overlooked our sins and offered to us the opportunity to be born again of the water, born again of the Spirit, receive the Holy Ghost. He gave you that opportunity, not because you're awesome and wonderful, not because you have such a testimony, but because the Lord looked down upon us and had mercy upon us. He has mercy on many people. Not everybody responds. As a matter of fact, I think very few respond to the mercy of God. And you can look at that in society. The Bible says that everybody knows about God. He reveals himself to them. Well, if he reveals himself to them, he also offers mercy to them. And unfortunately, in the comparison to the number of people in society and the number of people living for God, very few people take advantage of the mercy of God, whether it's because of unbelief, whether it's because they enjoy their sin. I'm not sure. I tend to think it's because they're just happy the way they are, and they don't see the need for God. And, of course, that's what we do. That's part of what we do, is we try to explain people their need for the Lord. But he saved us. How did he save us? It's a twofold way that he saves us. Number one is by the washing of regeneration. The washing of regeneration is when you were born again. That's when you were born of the water and of the Spirit. That's the first time you received the Holy Ghost, talked in tongues, were baptized, went down in the water in Jesus' name, came up, the Bible says, a new creature, and you began to walk with the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You see, Paul had to remind people about that. You were not the best kind of folks before you came to God. You need to remember that. We need to remember that. I need to remember the Lord didn't save me because I'm awesome. Come on, amen. The Lord didn't save. I could have just as easily said no to God and be, Lord knows where I am today, where I would be today without God. But he said, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's talking about the born again experience, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. But he also saves us through the renewing of the Holy Ghost. One time is not enough. One time of being filled with the Holy Ghost is not enough. You've got to, we're going to do a little Pentecostal speak here. Pentecostal speak means you need to pray through again. What does praying through mean? You pray until you reach heaven and you pray till you have that experience all over again. And one more time, you begin to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues one time is not enough. You have got to be renewed. How often do you have to be renewed? I'm not sure, but I would want to be renewed every time I come into the house of the Lord. Every time. Don't allow yourself to go out of the house of God without touching the throne of God, without touching the Lord, without yielding yourself to the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't come easy. Why is that? Sometimes it doesn't come easy because the Lord's trying to talk to us about some things. He's trying to straighten some things out. It's just like your little child coming up. Not really, but your little child will come up. Okay, give me some candy, Papa. And Papa's like, you've had enough for right now. You need to go clean your room, or you need to go do this, or you need to go do that. Amen. One time is not enough. Why is that? The easiest way for me to describe the problem is to use an Old Testament scripture. Jeremiah 2, 11 through 13. Jeremiah 2, 11 through 13. Has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. You see, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got the glory of God inside of you. Amen. And in verse 12 it says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. Instead of seeking the fountain of living water, who is the fountain of living waters? Jesus. It's what the word of the Lord says. John 7, 37 through 39. That day, the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then he said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe upon him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glory. He was talking about the Holy Ghost. He was talking about drinking from the well that never runs dry. Talking about drinking from the well of the presence of God. And he says, you've forsaken the well, and you built yourself a cistern, a crack cistern, that can hold no water. Here's the essence of the problem, is we leak. We leak. Why do you think you can come into the house of the Lord, be refreshed in the Holy Ghost, and by the time the next day or the day after or Friday comes or Saturday comes, you're feeling awful dry in the Holy Ghost. It's because you're leaking. So what's the answer to leaking? Well, one answer is to fix the leaks, fix the cracks. Dig out the stones. And in the book of Mark, it talks about the different types of soil. Dig out the stones if you want to be good soil. I've talked about this many times. If you look at farms, no farm started out perfect. They all had trees and rocks and bushes and weeds and thorns. But somebody got in there and they began to dig out the rocks. They began to pull out the weeds, began to cut down the trees, pull the stumps out. A lot of hard work. It's no different for us. We have got to work our own spirit. We have got to work on our own self. Don't worry about somebody else. You just work on yourself. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing, because you're not going to be saved for them. You're going to be saved for yourself. Don't worry about this one and that one's doing. Don't get discouraged because, well, I know what's right to do, but this one isn't doing it. So, you know, why should I do it? My God, what a messed up mind that is. You're doing it because you want to be saved. You're not doing it because somebody else is doing it. Somebody else is not doing it. You have got to get that mentality out of your mind, that the mentality of your mind is, I am seeking the Lord for myself. I am seeking the Lord that I might be saved. I am seeking the Lord that I might walk on streets of glory. Yes, I can influence others to come along, but really, it's myself that I'm worried about, myself that I'm concerned about. If you're a parent, of course, you're going to be concerned with your children, and that's the best reason for you to make sure, besides that, to make sure that you're right with God is because of your children. Children may or may not live for God. It's just a fact of life. You can have pastors have had the best kids in the world, and or the best pastor, kids have had the best pastor in the world, best parents in the world, and still walked away from God. But you can remove whatever excuses that they do have. Amen. So you leak. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. You see, here's the answer. Here's a statement at least. We tend to get to thinking that we're awesome and wonderful. That church can't do without us. If you allow yourself to, you can think that. You really can. Say, well, Pastor, you think that way? No, but I've seen plenty of people who have thought that way. I almost died last year. What would have happened? The Lord would have raised up somebody else. That's all. I'm not indispensable to the work of the Lord. And he said, we have this vessel in earthen, or we have this gift in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of the power of God. I think the Lord lets some of this stuff happen to remind us that it's him and not us. It's him and not us. We're not awesome and wonderful. God is the awesome and wonderful. We're not the world's Savior. God's the world's Savior. Amen, right? Right, Marion? Say amen, Marion. Just say amen. 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 But we need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost as often as possible. To use an American acronym. Now, I understand you. From being from other countries, you may not understand the acronyms sometimes Americans use. But one of them is, if you want to be on top of your game. Well, if you want to be on top of your game with the things of God, you have got to stop at the filling station. You cannot go, 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 go without pausing for the blessing of God to be poured out upon you one more time. Sometimes it's so easy to get away from the refilling of the Holy Ghost because we just put it off and we put it off and we put it off. All of a sudden it just doesn't feel that necessary anymore. There has got to be, for every person that has received the Holy Ghost, there has got to be a renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you have not spoken in tongues for a while, you're dry, friend. You're dry. The Apostle Paul said, he said, I praise God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, there's no place in the Scripture that says you got to speak in tongues again. But Paul let it be known, I talk in tongues more than all of you. And speaking in tongues is just simply the sign that you got the Holy Ghost. That's all. You can't depend on any other signs. So you need to pray, Lord, let it happen all over again. God, refresh me. Lord, renew me. Sister, don't run away. I'm going to not be too awful long. And my wife says, amen. Now, see, the problem is we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. As you leak, I'm going to tell you a truth. As you leak, your carnal nature rises up and tries to reclaim the territory it lost. Can somebody give me a witness? Nobody's going to give me a witness. It's a hard truth, ain't it? That if you don't keep yourself in the presence of the Lord, whether you are foolish, disobedient, whatever the case was, it will try to rise up and bite you once again. Now I'm getting a couple of amens. Good. Could somebody say amen really loud? Amen. All right, thank you. I was beginning to feel like, man, I know I didn't miss it because this is the truth. This is the truth. The truth is, without God, without the water of life, you become what you were. And don't think as soon as you get the Holy Ghost, you're not still sometimes foolish or disobedient or deceived. There's a learning curve, a learning experience that is involved in all of this. Some things you receive deliverance from immediately, while other things take some time and teaching. And you know what you got to do in order to be taught? It's really easy. You have to allow yourself to be taught. You have to allow it. You have to allow a voice in your life. Now, this is why you have to give up being contumacious. Remember that big word we used before, contumacious? Or contumacious, how do they say it? Contumacious, C-O-N-T-U-M-A-C-I-O-U-S. Refusal to give in to authority. That's why we need that. Why do you think Paul had to write in verse 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable for you? The Amplified said it like this. It said, but avoid stupid and fool. Now, I know some folks don't like to hear the word stupid, but it's in the Bible, so I'll use it. But avoid stupid and foolish, Amplified version, but avoid stupid and foolish controversies and genealogies and dissensions and wranglings about the law, for they are unprofitable for you. Why did Paul have to write that? The very simplest answer is because it was happening in his day. There were all, when Paul got up there in Acts 20 and 28, or Peter got up there in Acts 20 and 28, and talked about, after my departing, grievous wolves shall come in not sparing the flock. Out of your own selves shall rise men speaking perverse things. Heresy doesn't come from outside the church. Heresy came from inside the church. And there were already in the Apostle Paul's day people rising up with all kinds of crazy stuff. And he had to admonish Titus, Titus, you need to avoid that stuff. Don't let it bring you down. Don't let it get to you. And what that tends to do, when you get involved with that stuff, you get less and less of the water of life, less and less of Jesus inside of you, until you find yourself wondering, what happened to my walk with the Lord? I'm done. How about you? Let's all stand. Are you ready to receive a refilling of the Holy Ghost? Are you ready? If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you got to get it sooner or later. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you just need to make up your mind, because the Lord is there pouring it out. And if you receive the Holy Ghost, it's been a while since you talked in tongues. Why don't you turn your eyes on Jesus? Let's all come out and let's find a place and let's talk to the Lord. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to worship a little bit. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for
turn. again, again, again.